apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Nolan a hand. Especially give Nolan a hand. He was cooperative. That's a good thing. You know, you always got to have a contingency plan. The contingency plan was Josh. That's right. Maybe they're going to put Josh in the, that would be a little weird, but hey, I want to welcome you again to this series of messages that we're doing out of the book of Ephesians, and I hope that in your quiet times and through your week, you're taking some time to read Ephesians so that when we have these readings here, you're not like, what's this about, but that it's something you're into and making a part of your life. I want to tell you a little bit about Ephesus. Each time we go, the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was this big, prosperous harbor city in Asia Minor, and it marked the end point of that famous Silk Road that maybe you've read about in the history books. The temple and streets were strewn with prostitutes, captivated by the goddess Diana, and people could experience her power, the power of this goddess, by sexual intimacies with her priests and her priestesses. It was just a downright wicked, wicked city. Immorality flourished and flooded over into the families and really into society in general. And so I want to ask you this morning, how would you respond to a culture like this? Maybe some of you feel like in your work world and the people that you work with, maybe you feel like you're kind of in the middle of an Ephesus type of a culture. But there is an answer to this. There is an answer to how we should live in the midst of a culture like this. And I think you will hear the answer to this clearly in a song by Christy Getty. And as we listen to the song, I want you just to open up your heart. Maybe you want to close your eyes, I don't know. But I want you just to open up your heart, and I want you to listen to the message of this song, because it answers the question as how do we live in a culture like this. Go ahead and roll it.
Thank you. to see the dawn of the darkest day. Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross.
This is the title of the message this morning, The Power of the Cross. The Power of the Cross. Paul made Ephesus his home and a center for evangelism for about 3 years. Knowing the wickedness of the city, it was not surprising that Paul would write a letter to this church and focus on the power of the cross, because he knew that the only true solution to sin was the blood of Jesus, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning. I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your notes, if you would. The power of the cross, number one, draws us to God. The power of the cross draws us to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is saying, if you have your Bibles open there, Paul is saying that at one time, you were separated from Christ, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel, you were foreigners to the covenant of promise, you were without hope, you were without God, and he's painting a pretty dismal picture. He was saying, you folks in Ephesus were once 40 miles away from God. And you need to understand that in those days, separation from Israel just simply meant separation from God. So Paul seemed to kind of be sending this whole town, this whole group of people kind of down a slippery slope. But then in the middle of it all, he kind of shifts gears, not just from first to second, not just from second to third, but he shifts gears from reverse to forward. I'd like you to, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to chapter 2, and I want you to read, look with me as I read to you, a very pivotal verse in all of this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, and this is what it says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You were far away, you were going down that slippery slope, you were far from God, you know, you're just going in reverse, you're going the wrong direction. But now you've been brought near through the blood of Christ. The power of the cross draws us to God. The power of the cross gives us a brand new start. Megan Waltman told me that every year from third grade to fifth grade, her principal, Mrs. Reinhardt, would begin the school year by saying, all of you are beginning with a clean slate. A fresh start, no detentions. You know, this is the way you're starting it out. And I imagine that that was great news for some. You know, there were probably always those kids that were always getting in trouble. And now they had a brand new beginning. They weren't getting those things from the past year dragged in front of them. They had a brand new start. And that's what Jesus did for us. He gave us a fresh start. And this is why Paul was so obsessed with the cross. And he was so obsessed with the blood of Christ because it gives us a fresh start. I want to share with you a couple of verses out of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, if you don't know Christ, if you're kind of outside that circle, if you're a secular person who's kind of living for themselves, the cross of Christ, this whole idea of the cross, someone dying on a cross, it's foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Paul's just obsessed with Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews. And once again, he uses that word, and foolishness to Gentiles. Just doesn't make any sense to them at all. But to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. It's the power of God and the wisdom of God. And this is the power of the cross. It draws us to God. We had something this past week happen at Timberline that was very sad, and it was also most glorious. I had the privilege of sharing a message at Leroy Beiler's Celebration of Life service yesterday morning. And it always amazes me at what happens at funerals when that person has surrendered their life to the power of the cross. And that's Leroy. Leroy wasn't a perfect person, but he was brought near to God. He was brought near to God through the blood of Jesus. And it impacted the way he lived, and it impacted the way he died, and it impacted the way we celebrated his life. It was just amazing. There was life at the service, and joy, and renewed relationships, and refreshment. It was just amazing. I don't know about you, but I've been to funerals where there's no hope. And it's dark. And it's sad. And even though sometimes people try to make light of things and make it sound like it's really not that big of a deal, there's this hopelessness, this helpless kind of cloud that kind of descends on a funeral like that. And I've heard weeping and wailing at funerals that were not healthy grieving, but rather they were weeping of despair. And it doesn't need to be that way. It doesn't need to be that way. The power of the cross draws us to God, where we can find mercy and we can find grace and we can find forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus, the power of the cross. Let's go to our notes. Number two, the power of the cross gives us access to God. It gives us access to God. Verse 14 in chapter 2 reads, we're back to Ephesians 2, but verse 14 reads, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Now, why do we need access to God? I said in your notes, it brings about access to God. Because we are a divided people. You know, people were divided back in Jesus' day. There was the Jew-Gentile barrier. There was hostility between the two. The Jews had a sign in their temple that read this: "No foreigner may enter within the barricades." That's anyone who wasn't a Jew. "No foreigners may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." Basically, you're not a Jew, you enter in here, you're on your own, you'll probably die. We're not going to take any responsibility for you if you die. This is just a warning. There was this barrier between Jew and Gentile, a wall of hostility, because we tend to be a divided people. That's just kind of the way we're wired. Think about it. Old Testament, Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Ishmael, David and Saul. Walls of hostility are common for us, like the Hatfields and the McCoys. How many of you remember the Hatfields and McCoy story? You know about who they are? You know, a family feud that crossed a river and spanned several states, and it lasted for nearly 150 years. People just feuding, Hatfields and McCoys, just this dividing walls of hostility. You know, even today, you know, we have a similar kind of hostility, you know, right here in America. We just do. And they bash each other, and they bash each other, and their parties bash each other, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Division is nothing new. It's nothing new. And it all has the same roots. Catch this. It all has the same roots, division, hostility, and it has the same solution. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two." God's purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body, so prior to this we had two, but in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Jesus was in the business of tearing down this barrier. Now, I want you to understand something, folks. There is really only one category, and that's sinners. You want to bring that slide up? Yeah, there you go. There's really only one category, sinners. There's really only one race, human. There's really only one problem, sin. There's really only one solution, Jesus. There's really only one hope, the resurrection. This just gets to the bottom of it all. It gets to the bottom of the barriers, the hostility, all the problems, all the divisions, all the issues that happen in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through him we both have access," and I want you to look at that word, "we have access to the Father by one Spirit." We have access to the Father by one Spirit. There's really only one solution to the hostility, division, and barrier and barriers and conflict that we come across, and that's access to the Father through Jesus. If you walk down the, what we call the corridor, the hallway to our children's ministry wing in the back here, if you walk down that hallway, you will see four doors in the ceiling. How many of you know these doors exist? One, two, three people. Okay. There are four doors in the ceiling down that hallway. We call them access doors. They give us access to the attic space above each classroom. If you push up on those doors, don't do it, but if you push up on those doors, because you get the insulation all over you, if you push up on those doors and kind of push them to the side, you will have access to the attic. Not that any of you would want to go to the attic. But if you want, you have access to the attic. And there are times we need to go up into that space, hopefully on a cold day, not a hot day. But we call them access doors. And these doors have only one purpose, access, to give us access to those attic spaces. Jesus said this. I read this verse at the funeral yesterday. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's access, folks. That's access. The solution to divisions, barriers, and conflict is God, and Jesus is the only access. The power of the cross is the only access to God. So it might be conflict with a coworker, might be for you a family feud, might be tension with your spouse, might be a rift between you and your kids, might be racial tension, might be socioeconomic barriers, whatever. It's the power of the cross that gives us access to God. Let's go to our notes. That's number two. Number three, the power of the cross builds a house for God. The power of the cross builds a house for God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. I want you to look at that verse. I want you to look here. It says, but you are fellow citizens and members of God's household. There's an interconnectedness here. All of us are a part of the same building. Jesus is the foundation of the building. Now, there are people that spend their lives studying religious trends in North America. And here's what they are finding in this generation, this particular generation. There is an enormous spiritual hunger in our country. There's an enormous spiritual hunger. I was driving to church here this morning, and I heard on the radio, we are hungry, we are hungry. And then I went on to the chorus, we are hungry, we are thirsty for you. There is this enormous spiritual hunger in our country. But there is a movement away from institutional religion. Let me say it a simpler way. People are hungry for spiritual things, but they don't go to church anymore. That's really what's happening in our culture. They're not going to the church for the answer. When asked the question, do you believe you can be a very good Christian without attending church? 81% of North Americans said yes. Do you believe you can be a very good Christian? I think that's the way it was worded. Without attending church. 81% of the people in America said yes. And this provides a huge challenge for those of us that believe the church is the hope of the world. So let me explain something to you. The church is where the members of God's family gather, the household. Christ is the foundation of this house, where the members, this is what Ephesians is saying, where the members gather together. Here's another way of saying it. We are his body. This is biblical language too. We are his body, and he is the head of his body. Now, I want you to catch this. The head of any body accomplishes its purposes through the members of the body. The head of the body accomplishes its purposes through the different members of the body. If the head says, I want to go play ping pong, the head doesn't just bounce around on the table playing ping pong. It's the members of the body that make it possible for the body, the person, to play ping pong. But it comes as a result of the head, okay? It's the members of the body that make it possible. If we are disconnected from the head, or if we are disconnected from the body, like this generation is headed, how can we fulfill his purposes? If the people of our generation hunger for God, they want the head to do its work. They want the head to work out its purposes. But if they refuse to become part of the body, they refuse to become a part of the household, what are we going to do? And this is a huge, huge challenge for us. You see, how can we ask God for his power or for his favor or his direction if we refuse to become part of the body or part of the building? We say, well, I don't want to be part of the body. I want to be part of the building. But, oh, Lord, I want your help. I want your help. Give me direction. Show me, show me. Very, very difficult. We're disconnected. We're over here. Ephesians 2:21 says, in him the whole building is joined together. So we're all in this together, interconnected, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And then verse 22, and in him you two are being built together, become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And in him, the in him is referring to Jesus. It is through the power of the cross of Jesus that this building, this body of Christ, this household, that's how it's built. It's through the power of the cross of Christ. That's how we can become a part of it. This spring, we've been in the process of building this building called the Three Bay. And you folks did a great job at helping us to raise this building up. In fact, I thought this building looked so nice, I put it on Capture a Moment and said, you know what, I think this is probably the nicest looking building we have on the property. You know, it's called the Three Bay. It's got three sections to it. And it's actually a storage building. So because it looks so nice, we put it on Capture and said, look at this building. Thanks for helping us build it. But nobody lives there. Jimmy's threatened to move in there, but he doesn't. Nobody lives there. Nobody lives there. This is a picture of the Washington Monument. It's a pretty cool building. In fact, it's kind of considered a national treasure. How many of you have ever seen it with your eyes? Not just pictures, but you actually seen it. Okay. How many of you have ever been inside of it? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever walked the steps to the top of it? All right. A couple of us old guys that have done that. Yep. Did that my senior year in high school. It's a cool building. It's a real cool building. But nobody lives there. We have the privilege of becoming much more than just a cool building. We can become a part of a building where God lives. There's groups of people that meet together all over the United States. But if God doesn't live there, it doesn't mean anything. We have the privilege of becoming a part of a building where God lives, and this is all possible. Why? Because of the cross and because of the blood of Jesus. There's a guy by the name of J.D. Greer that does some teaching on the book of Ephesians, and he asks the following questions. And I think these questions are helpful when we look at the practical application of the power of the cross. In other words, how do you actually apply this? You see, if the power of the cross only impacts us, if it's only just about us, we've missed a lot of what it's all about. He raises three questions. Question number one is this: how involved should we be in the church? If this is the body of Christ, if this is the building, not this building, but we as people are the building, the household that God has put together, how involved should we be in the church? Well, obviously 81% of the people in North America think not much. But I want to ask you that question. So how involved should we be in the church? That's question number one. Question number two, what does a healthy church look like on the inside? Go inside, back behind the scene. What's really going on? What should a healthy church look like? And question number three, what kinds of things will a healthy church be engaged with on the outside? I talked to you last week about Guatemala. We've talked about all kinds of stuff here at Timberline this last year, unfinished. The work that we're called to do. So what kind of things will a healthy church be engaged with on the outside? And then that brings you back to question number one, how involved should we be in the church? I want to ask you this morning to take a couple minutes, just prayer and reflection. These questions, by the way, are on your notes. I'd like you to take just a couple minutes, listen to the Lord carefully, and pray and reflect on these three questions. Let's pray. Father God, we feel incredibly blessed to be able to experience the power of the cross. And we want to thank you today for your sacrifice. Father, just pray today if there's anyone here that has never accepted that power of the cross, has never come to the end of themselves, has never invited you into their life, into their heart. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would speak to them today. Father, if there's anyone here today that would, if they were honest with themselves, would need to fear death, would need to fear what Leroy experienced, I pray that you'd bring them hope and give them the courage to decide. I thank you today that all over this congregation, there's many here who have experienced the power of the cross, the power of the blood of Christ, the power of the resurrection. Father, for that we rejoice. We rejoice. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand to your feet. The prayer team will be up front here this morning. It's going to be Bob Reeser and Michelle Beyer. They're going to be available to pray with you afterwards. And I want to just encourage you to make use of that opportunity today. They're going to kind of hang out here for a bit. And just bow your heads, if you would, for the benediction. No longer foreigners and aliens, no longer Jew and Gentile, but one people one holy people bound together by the Spirit of Christ. Never more will we be divided. Together we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Together we live at peace with each other and the one who gave his life to secure it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend.